Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I will be your instructor today in the Word of God. Today we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 as a whole, but basically we're going to zero in on the very first verse. Now I do encourage you to read the entire chapter because there is very formative things here, especially on repentance. Later in the chapter, which we're not going to be able to get to because of our time constraint today. This is the Writings of Paul class, and the title of today's lesson is called Incremental Perfection. Incremental Perfection. And the very first verse will be our weekly Bible memory verse. And let's go over it to begin with. Which says, quote, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." An excellent verse. And further down the page, you will see another verse I would encourage you to study, and that's about repentance. I think it's on verse 10, which simply states that godly sorrow leads to repentance unto salvation. And worldly sorrow, in contrast, leads to death. So, if we worry about the things of this world, it is very detrimental. God doesn't want us to do that. Now, what we need to do is listen to the Word of God, and if there's things wrong that it points out in our lives, then we need to truly repent of. And once we've repented, we don't need to go back and re-repent. Once we are saved, we don't have to go back through and be re-saved likewise. Looking at verse 1, please. If everybody's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. The Apostle Paul tells us to think and draw our own conclusions when he says, therefore. We are expected to read and study God's Word and draw our own conclusions. God, through the Holy Spirit, will be our teacher and guide. We are to observe, acknowledge, and know the promises of God's grace to us. And we know that through the Scripture as well as through our daily lives, because God shows us these things daily, on a daily basis. God is gracious, and He has promised more than what we could ever imagine. He has promised that to us. All He has given us are things that we are to consider on a daily basis. Everything you have are gifts of God, and we are to contemplate His grace to us daily. And look at how we, that is the readers, are addressed. We are addressed as, quote, dearly beloved, end quote. This wording comes from the Greek word agape, or in other words, godly love, and is the same as that of God addressing His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as seen in various places in the New Testament, such as, quote, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the word dear is agape, a form of the word agape. That verse is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Beloved Son, dearly beloved, is also used by God the Father at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So his beloved saints are as beloved as his Son, and he sees us through him. That is to say, when God looks at those who trust him for their salvation, he sees Christ and loves us because of him. It is even more true with him than when a grandparent looks at their grandchildren and sees their children in them. They become even more endearing because of it. Now, we are to consider his goodness to us and take action to purposely clean up our lives through decisions and actions. Now, this isn't done all at once, but a little at a time. As we said, in increments, we incrementally mature as Christians. We are predestined to be eventually conformed to the image of his dear Son. Let's go on here. We clean up our lives, even as a house gets cleaned up in the same manner, or in similar manner. When one cleans a house, one may start out in one room and thoroughly clean it first, and then go on to the next. After that room is cleaned, then you go on to the next room, until the house is totally clean. God, through the Holy Spirit, does this through sanctification and cleans up our lives as we go along, as we mature incrementally in sanctification. One is not to leave rooms dirty in the process, however, since those rooms, which you might claim for your own, but those rooms may and will be an embarrassment, to say the least. Now, question arises as to why anyone would want to do this cleaning anyway. Isn't it a lot of work and unnecessary? The answer is, we are to clean up our lives out of gratitude for God's goodness and his forgiveness. We should want to clean up our lives and not cling to sin. All the rooms are to be open and clean for his inspection, leaving no dark place. God doesn't like dark places since he is light. Now the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us what is to be cleaned up in our lives. And it isn't pretty. He says, quote, all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What spirit? I thought the spirit was clean and wholesome. Trying to approach God wearing the filth of unforgiven sin. And forgive this illustration, but it's best I could come up with at the time here. Trying to approach God wearing the filth of unforgiven sin is sort of like walking into a church on Sunday morning all dressed up, but having your very best clothing, looking your very best, but having just tramped in a big pile of dog mess unawares, and you are inadvertently dragging it up the center aisle on the carpet as you go. That is sort of like trying to approach God with unforgiven sin. You stink. Instead, we are to be clean and be rid of the filthiness of not just the flesh, but of the inner spirit, that we may approach God and not be embarrassed. That means every chamber of your heart and mind needs to be open unto Him and come clean. That means you can't just dedicate your soul to God without including your entire body. When a child is born again, their entire body is born. When a person is born again, their entire being is a new creation. What you think in your mind and heart is important. But we also must remember that what we do goes along with it. Paul states in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, a very familiar verse to some, what is really important, and this should not be ignored even for one day. He says to us, quote, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." End quote. So this is a reasonable thing to do. Out of gratitude, we lay down our entire lives, our bodies and our minds, our time, our assets to God as a living sacrifice, and it is acceptable unto God. So, if you are to show gratitude to God, you must not only acknowledge it in your heart, but follow through with it in your words and actions. As it said in that verse, to be acceptable to God, we must be holy. Now, all our efforts to clean up our lives can go a long way, but in regards to God, not so much, since He demands perfection. Here's where we come to the realization that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was an absolute necessity. It is only when a person realizes and relies on Christ's holiness as being a gift to them that the great gap between their efforts and the perfection of God is closed. And it is closed by God's grace. Our efforts could never be enough or good enough in order to be justified before God. One must believe Him. Can He save you? Can He raise you from the dead on the last day? Can He make you stand as righteous despite all that you have ever done? Can he forgive you of your worst regrets? If you believe him, the answer to all of this is yes. It is not just believing in God that counts, but believing God, period. Now, at the end of our verse, we see Paul encouraging us to go on in perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, we are to continue on in the upward way, ever mindful of his guideline. The guideline, and or guidelines in general, that are found in his word, he has indeed laid out plainly all we need to know in his word. Now, in simplest form, it could be thought of as the Ten Commandments being our limitations and our guide, since all sin is categorized under one of the ten. The Ten Commandments will be the ten accusations at the bar of judgment, and all will be judged accordingly, as seen in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Which says, quote, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works," end quote. Those who trust Christ are viewed as beloved, as Christ is beloved, even at the judgment seat. There are you viewed as beloved, and are the ones, one and the same, who have their names written in the book of life. To those who thought it not to be important, who took no action in soul and body, they are the ones who are lost for all eternity. As it says, quote, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is what Paul means when he tells us to perfect our holiness in God out of fear. We are to behold both the goodness and severity of God. He is both. Good to the beloved, severe to those who scorned his love. Quote, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, saying, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." End quote. The day of harvest is at hand. One of two will show up at our departure from earth. That is, individually, when we depart in this life. One of two will show up. One possibility is Jesus Christ, the Beloved, coming for his own. Or the other person, or other one that could show up, is the angel of death. Gruesome, frightening, dressed in black, and yes, with his sickle. Revelation 14, 18 through 20. He shows up for the ones who don't love God and his dear son, having not moved on God's word when they yet could. So that we should know all that today. This should be common knowledge. That today is the acceptable day of salvation. We are to heed the call while it is yet today. He indeed will be pleased to hear from you. With that, we are going to close this shortened lesson and ask the Lord's blessing upon the reading and hearing of his infallible word. Let us bow with a word of prayer, please. Gracious Father, we thank thee for sending your Son to die upon the cross for our salvation, for our benefit, that we may be blessed, that you may see us through him who died for us. We thank thee for this, and we thank thee for everything that you have given us that we so much do not deserve. We thank thee for your grace. Teach us, our Father, and guide us along the way. Be with each one of our prayer requests that we have. We won't mention them now, but help us, Lord, to be faithful in bringing these unto thee, into the throne of grace on behalf of others and others' needs. Pray now also that you'll be with thy church, that you'll bless it and cause us to grow and to do your will and service. And we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be good witnesses for thee in whatever situation. Just guide and protect and bless. And we pray that you'll cause us to prosper in whatsoever we do for thee. For it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray these things with thanksgiving. Amen.